It's time for the second funniest podcast with your hosts, the Kevin Miller and Justin Wersch. Have fun, guys.
Thank you, Sam. Hello, and welcome to the second funniest podcast. This is episode 409. I am your host, Justin Wersch. With me, as always, is the one who will make any month longer, leap year or not. The solstice in every year, the one, the only, the KevinMiller.com. Jump, press the circle button, Kevin.
Groundhog your day.
Boom, again and again
Justin
and again.
Worship.
Which reminds me, I tried explaining the concept of Groundhog Day to my three-year-old.
I was going to say, if your wife doesn't understand it, we have a
problem.
It was
pretty hilarious because I go, you know, today's Groundhog Day, Jacob. And he's like, Groundhog? What's that? I go, well, it's like a little animal, lives in a hole, it comes out. And the idea is that if he sees his shadow when he comes out, then there's going to be two more weeks of winter. And he went, oh. Like it was the first
time.
It's
not 2 weeks, it's 6 weeks.
I'm sorry?
6 weeks.
Maybe that's why he was unimpressed.
Yeah, because you had it wrong.
He does it
on February 2nd. Winter doesn't end until the end of March.
Oh.
Did I do that right?
Probably. What entertained me the most about it was that it was the first time that the shoe was on the other foot of unamazed at what I brought to the table. You know, like when you're alive, when you have children, for those of you that don't, and as they grow up, there's a lot of like, oh my gosh, that you have to bring to the table. And then eventually you just get tired of it and you're like, yeah. That's what you did. Because I feel like if I'm constantly going, oh, my God, and I'm validating his, you know, crappy conversation, then I'm not helping anyone.
Seriously,
you
what
know?
Is wrong with him?
I don't need him to be an entitled D-bag.
You know what you should do is for the vernal equinox, take him outside and set eggs up on end. It'll blow his freaking mind.
I don't even know what that is.
I think it's the first day of spring, the vernal equinox. You know, okay.
Well, you said the first. Did you hear that?
I didn't.
Okay. I heard both of us talking at the same time for a nanosecond.
Oh.
When you said scream, I was like, oh, is that the day the movie came out?
No. It's the day when the Earth starts to tip, you know, because it normally sits on one axis, right? Mm-hmm. And then, and that's why we get summers while the Southern Hemisphere gets winters and vice
versa.
And
they have, like, 20-hour days in certain parts of the year.
Exactly. So what happens is that we tilt one way. It's why the sun is small. It's what makes it winter. The sun is small. We haven't changed our difference. It's just where we are, we've tilted away from the sun. And in the summer, we tilt back towards the sun. So there's a day when the Earth is pretty much equidistant, like it's sitting. It would be sitting
straight
up straight,
and down.
For one day. And on that day, I know because I have thousands of pictures of this. It's a legitimate thing. You can go outside and take an egg and set it up straight, and it will just sit there because the balance of the planet is perfectly aligned, and there's no tilt on anything. It's the most. And then try it any other day. And it won't work. But if you do it like noon, closest to noon on the vernal equinox, the eggs will just sit up perfectly straight.
I feel like that on that day, the egg developers are injecting a little extra counterbalance.
How would they know? Because it doesn't work the day after.
That's what I'm saying.
What would be a weighted egg?
Huh?
What would be a weighted egg?
An urban legend. I've never tried this.
You've never heard
done
of this? I've never
no.
talked about this. How many hours? We're in the 10,000 hours worth of friendship time.
I would agree.
And I've never mentioned, that was kind of a watershed moment in my childhood.
Well, we're too busy, as far as, I thought you were talking about on this show, as far as how you and I interact, we're too busy trying to make each other laugh all the time.
But I think, like, I've shared, like, when we used to work in the green room, that's a very, like, which is like a road trip.
Yeah.
That's a very road trippy story.
But I don't like eggs, so it's never going to come up. You know what I mean? Like, eggs aren't just going to come up to where you're like, hey, now that you mentioned eggs, you know, like, and if I'm sure you had tons of family Easter stories or whatever around Easter time. That's the only time I would have talked about an egg.
Okay.
I don't even like Easter eggs.
Tuesday, March 20th, 2012 is the vernal equinox or the March equinox.
So 30 days from now.
It's also the first day of spring. Yeah, I had that right. So let's do it. Some point between now and then, let's go outside, bring some eggs, try to step them upright.
Uh-huh.
It won't work. And then on
what are you going to do if it fails? What are you going to do?
It won't fail. I trust in science.
Right, but what, like, to me, all I think about is all it takes is an uneven piece of pavement.
Oh, well, let's find some even pavement. Let's go to, you know, a place with, let's go to the mystery spot.
Where it'll hover and talk to me? Is that what happens there?
Once a year.
Once a year, it hover. An egg will answer all your questions like a magic eight ball.
I love the vernal equinox. Also, when I'm doing pot. Same day.
So much pot smoking and pedophilia happening on this
all
show.
All the time. That's what the show. There's even this website which shows on the Old Farmer's Almanac, they have a picture of the egg sitting upright.
When you had plugged last week that we were going to do a little bit of fan mail, I misunderstood, and I was looking through the email, and the very first email saw...
We read real fan mail last week. Go back and listen.
The very first email I saw was something that I thought was interesting, where this comes to us from Matt. It says, it is the co-founder of a sort of kind of funny show. He's in sort of a dilemma. My parents believe I have too many gaming consoles and shouldn't be allowed to have a PS3, even though I practically have enough money to buy one. My best argument so far is that I can play Blu-ray discs on the PS3, which my dad wants to get me. But what is the best argument on getting a PS3? Also, what do you think was the best and worst Super Bowl commercial? Jump, press, circle button as often as possible. Your friend Matt.
That makes it sound dirty.
Yeah. Wait, is that not what it's been?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Ever since Matt Olson said it's been dirty.
So I don't know what you think of that. I didn't talk to you about it before the show because
we don't do
production meetings.
Especially now that we're doing four.
Yeah.
Two a week.
The idea of too many consoles, to me, I think what's hard is it's hard because my childhood, if you had the money, I could get it. Like, my dad didn't have those kind of rules. If you're paying for it, you can do whatever you want. I had a
His
job
parents
when I was nine.
Are saying you have too many consoles.
Right.
Play with the ones you've
got.
He's
saying he has enough money to get almost enough money to buy a PS3 himself. Like, with his own money, he saved up. And they're saying, nope, you have too many video game consoles. That's too much.
Hmm.
And the Blu-ray is the best argument of all.
What I would leverage back. I think there's a solid point there.
Mm-hmm.
If he's willing, he should sell one of his other consoles and say, okay, you're right. I want to change teams. I want to be on it. Because the truth is that the consoles have a lifetime that we know is going to expire within the next year. So they're all going to be useless pretty soon. So if he wants to trade over, might as well liquidate one of the consoles now and move over to a family that he wants to go into the next generation with.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's PlayStation, because they do have, I think, better titles, exclusive titles.
My argument would be that I don't give dad crap for having too many whiskey bottles, all right, or too many cigarettes in a day. I don't give him crap, all right? So get off my back, old lady.
Yeah, it is tough.
Don't make me a sandwich while I'm going to order this PS3 online.
It's clearly a mark of like a generational gap there, because what they see is that it's like owning two cars. You don't need two cars.
Yeah.
And you can explain to your blue in the face about exclusive titles and the different abilities of the peripherals and all that stuff. And the fact that it can play Blu-ray movies. But at the end of the day, all they're going to be hearing is that the cup holders are different and that the stereo has a different surround sound system in it, and that you still have two cars and you don't need two cars.
I would honestly go about it. All seriousness, I would go say, okay, what would I need to do? Like, give me something. It's important to me. What you're saying I can't have is very important to me. So be it a 4.0 GPA.
Set the bar that high unless you can do that.
No, I'm saying proper negotiating. You don't fill in the blanks for them.
2.0 GPA.
You know, you say, what is it that I would need to do in order to get this? You know, and if they're like, what do you mean? Then maybe you could set a low bar of an example or something like that, where it's like,
I will buy one car.
Right. Or I will do laundry, or I'll do this for a month preceding. Like, and here's what you have to do, because parents are smarter than you. And you have to say, before I get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I'm gonna put in some time before I get it.
And I'm willing to work for it.
Right. Because if you say, I will do that after I get it, then they know. It's just like the age old story about the dog, where it's like, I'll take care of. And then dad is always walking and clean up the poop and all that stuff, because it's after the fact.
My father-in-law has a 16-year-old son in his home right now. My brother-in-law is 16. And I watched this whole thing shake down, and it'd be interesting. I wonder if he'd be willing, or if it would be appropriate if he was on the show. I wonder if he could sit through it.
Mm-hmm.
But I would love...
Pasty lady face?
Yeah, but maybe we ask my brother-in-law, because he could actually have a rational conversation with us about it. My father-in-law would be too busy telling us how wonderful we are, and we could never ask him any questions. And when we finally do, he'll...
That could be a real problem.
20 minutes.
It's a real problem.
Well, we will never get to...
Mr. Smithers, could you please stop complimenting and just answer the damn question?
So this is being... He'll ask 45 questions about how it's being recorded. And how are, and so is it going out? I don't understand. But I watched this. My brother-in-law it was a couple games he really wanted. I think, what was the last big shoot 'em up? Modern Warfare. He really wanted Modern Warfare. And they were out here during Thanksgiving. And he made it clear he all he wanted was a Modern Warfare for Christmas and some golf clubs. And he's like, that's really all I want. Somehow he made the misstep of letting that come up into conversation as we're about to buy tickets to walk into Disneyland. And I think we were talking about the fact that this is like our... Oh, that's right. They bought her parents bought us Disneyland passes as a Christmas
all
present.
Year.
So I was like, what a wonderful Christmas present. You know, we don't, of course, and I said something like, well, of course, I expect you not to send us any other gifts, because this is all we would expect, and this is more than we deserve, so thank you. And so he got on to what he wants for Christmas. Well, I want Modern Warfare, and I want these golf clubs. And his dad goes, well, we'll see about that, a typical dad reaction. And he said, no, you don't understand, that's all I want. Like, they want Disneyland, this is all I want, or golf clubs, and this one video game. And, and his dad's like, well, I don't know, that Modern Warfare, it's violent. I'm not really sure if that's... He kind of hedged around it. Like, I don't really know if that's what you're going to get. Insinuating that I don't think you're going to get it. And he eventually did not get it. And to the point where my brother-in-law, I said, were you telling me that you want that game so bad that you said you would save the family money from walking into Disneyland right now and sit outside this park and not go inside for the day? And he goes... Yeah. I said, take him up on that offer and let him sit in this car in the parking lot for the next 16 hours while the rest of us in here riding rides and having an amazing time eating food. And he can sit in that car and then get him the game that he wants. And I felt bad, but he's like, no, yeah, I'll do it. He kind of was excited, like, no, this is great. If it guarantees me the game and the golf clubs I want. Of course, he didn't do it, and he eventually didn't get the game. And I wonder what this dissonance is, because from where I'm sitting, I don't understand what the problem is. I also had parents that were happy to enable my desires. Like, there was never a question of, well, you shouldn't be able to have that. If we were willing to work for it, if it's something we wanted.
If they could accommodate it, they would.
Yeah, there were things I wanted very badly when I was young that I never got, like a video camera, which I didn't understand. And I think that it just wasn't important to them. But as we got older, I think that my parents, and I eventually got a video camera, I think once they began to really understand it was something I wanted. I wanted to be able to film things. And I wanted video games. I wanted to be able, as we talked about a couple episodes ago. So, but I was blessed with understanding parents that wanted to give me the things that I wanted. And I don't know what it is about parents, so I'd love to get my father-in-law on the show to say, what is it that scares you about buying this thing that your child has clearly expressed an interest in purchasing, in wanting? And will clearly, if they're willing to throw Disneyland out the window to get this thing, doesn't that tell you that this is important to them? Or do they think that that's just the flimsy, flippant, fickle fancy of a child?
I actually feel that I know the answer to this question, because I think as a parent, you have this thought of you're building the person, right? Uh-huh. And so you have this weakness and flaw. Sometimes I think it works, but in moments like this, I think it can definitely be perceived as a weakness, where he says... There's a negative stigmatism about video games. There's a negative stigmatism about violent video games. There's a negative stigmatism about what is appropriate for a child to see. Like on the other podcast, I argue with my co-host Bill. Not argue, like it doesn't get heated, but he believes in shielding and protecting what his kid sees. My 3-year-old has seen horror movies, and
he watched Infamous.
Infamous, the vampire thing. And my wife,
I think
looks
that's
at
the official title.
Yeah, Feast of Vampires or whatever
thing.
But he watches it, and my wife looks at it and goes, "He's getting a little freaked out." And I'm like, "Yeah, but to me, when you see the child getting freaked out, the reaction isn't to cover it. You don't put it away. Yeah. You don't." That's why I started to, because I wanted to accommodate her, but then the people listening don't know. So we were playing it after the Super Bowl, and I was showing Kevin it, And we were like, wow, this is really great. And then my son sat down to have a snack. Natalie was eating next to him.
That is the order that I couldn't remember if it started with him in the room or if they came
into
the room.
No, they came into the room.
That's how I remembered it. And I couldn't decide. I couldn't remember if I was being fair.
And Natalie politely said, can we do something else? And then kind of gestured with her eyes that he was staring at it like he had a little bit of a scared face. My kid is beyond that. I know it. My kid doesn't get freaked out by that kind of stuff. All you have to do is say to him, dude, that's fake. It's not real.
I took it to mean that she just didn't like him being exposed to graphic imagery.
No.
Because it was like Cole was chomping on that chick's neck.
But she
thought, that's a little heavy.
She thought it was scaring him. And my point is...
It wasn't scaring him.
It wasn't scaring him. He was playing along with, because it's supposed to be scary.
Yeah.
But you have this fear, even me, even though I believe this strongly, that you should not shield your kids from anything. Anything is strong, but I think people understand.
But it wasn't terrorizing his soul.
Right.
If you had played that game, he wasn't going to wake up in the middle of the night with nightmares about the vampire
But you're afraid. I still have that fear that you're thinking, what if this is the time? You know what I mean?
This is the first memory. The first memory I had.
This is
was
the
of
time that I pushed
game.
Him too far. That there's something that he couldn't handle. You know that. So you get in your head about that stuff. So here's what I think. Your father.
And then when he's in his mid-20s and he does this stand-up routine about my dad would play vampire video games when I was 3.5 years old.
Father would expose you. No wonder. No wonder I'm all screwed up. Yeah, exactly. But. So here's what I think your father-in-law is.
I beat the first 14 women I married because my dad played a vampire video game.
I'm in the background. It's true. It's true. That's my son. But anyway, I don't know why my son talks like Chris Rock. That's my favorite part of this bit. But so here's what I think he's doing. He's doing one thing where maybe he has that aspect where he's like, I don't know. What if, you know, I'm sure on some deep level he understands that his son isn't going to climb to the top of a bell tower and start shooting kids.
He's
like
all about it. He watched him and I play Halo 4, 3, one of the Halos, and like loved what he would give us, like a general. He's like, okay, you guys, here's how you should go. We'd die, and he'd be like, okay, Kevin, you need to go up on the ridge, and then David, you need to go down below, and you need to. He would give us instructions, and then while we're playing, he finds the box and he starts reading. He's like, okay, you guys have to save the universe from this Halo thing because it sounds bad. The flood is coming. Like, he's giving us instructions about he was into it. So it wasn't like he was afraid of the
genre.
There's
a difference, though, between Modern Warfare and Halo.
I suppose.
You know what I mean? To him. But here's what I really think.
And he's to the point where he's like, he's telling him, you need to get Halo so you can play with your brother-in-law across the country.
Right.
Like, he wants him to get that game, but he doesn't want him to get.
Because that's family. Because here's what I think the real issue is. The real issue is that I'm assuming that what's going on is your brother-in-law says, I want these two things. This is what I want. Christmas is the time that you get what you want.
Yeah.
Maybe your father-in-law is like, no, that's not what it's about. Mm-hmm. It's about a lot more. He's also probably, you don't know, but he's probably wrestling with a little bit of maybe that kid does get a lot of what he wants. And he wants it to either he wants to be a certain recognition. He wants it to be a thing like we're here in Disneyland being together. I don't want to talk about the video game and the golf clubs that you want because I've been hearing about that for months.
That's probably very true.
You know what I mean? Like there's all of
that. Can't you be happy with the fact that we're about to go drop a lot of coin?
Exactly. What he's carrying is the credit card balance or the withdrawal from the checking account that brought everybody here to Los Angeles.
Yeah.
That's bringing everybody to Disneyland. He's seeing all that. And what the reaction
and
is to
that. And he's a family
that,
of five kids. He's got five mouths of
the feet. Reaction to that is, here's another thing I would like.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So all of this stuff hits you in a different way, and that generates this, well, we'll see. Because like, I want to go have fun with my family at Disneyland, so I don't want to get in an argument with you.
All that makes sense, except for it doesn't explain the fact that he didn't get the game. You know what I mean? He got other Christmas presents. It'd be one
Did
thing.
He get the golf clubs?
Good question. I don't know.
If he got the golf clubs, then the next question is, does your father-in-law enjoy golf?
He doesn't enjoy golf.
Your
I think he got the golf
enjoy
clubs.
Golf.
I actually can check. We texted about this.
So if he got the golf clubs, then it's either, like I said, if your father-in-law is not into golf, then it's because your father-in-law believes that golf can lead to something in his future. There's some aspect to it. Like you have these visions of like, okay, well now if he's a sales guy, he could take the client out to, to the back nine. You know what I mean? Like that's what you envision. You don't envision, hey guys, now that we've sealed this multi-million dollar deal, let's go back to my house and set up a LAN party and modern warfare the hell out of each other. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's not, they don't have Bing Crosby and Bob Hope doing those things. You know what I mean? That's not part of our culture at this moment or at this juncture.
Here's what he says. I got Logan Thomas jersey. I don't know who that is, but who, Mr. Jersey. Oh, he's the quarterback for Virginia Tech. College kids get their own swag. How does that even happen? You're in college. You're going to school. You're doing math classes. You're also playing football. And then somebody comes up to you and you're like, here's what we want to do. I want to make a jersey with your name on it.
You're ridiculous.
Welcome. NCAA.
Although, also, by the way, because you're in college, you can't make any money off of it.
NCAA football 12, some Red Sox stuff, gift cards, and more Virginia Tech stuff. I was kind of disappointed that I didn't get Modern Warfare 3. Not really sure why, but I didn't get it. I'm just going to buy it with my Target gift card later. I don't remember if he said he got... His birthday is like 2 weeks after Christmas, so he might have got the golf clubs then, but he didn't say anything about the golf clubs there.
And it's interesting that we're talking
about... I can't text him now because it's like 1 o'clock in the morning in Virginia.
It's interesting to me that we're talking about this idea of Christmas like two, 3 months later, but... I do. It's hard for me as a person and as a father to wrap my mind around the idea of like, here's my laundry list of stuff I just got.
Yeah.
I'm a little disappointed that I didn't get these two. You know what I mean?
Like, but that's what I was saying, I think, last week, whereas like there are things that I want. And those are the things, that's my Christmas love. That's like my gift love language, because I get that. Because if the point of giving gifts is to give something that actually touches the person, then give them something that they would want. Yeah. Don't just give them a gift. And I think that goes the same for family. It kind of dismantles the whole point of giving and all the messages that they talk about at Christmas of like what the spirit is behind it. If you just ceremoniously give them some crap that they don't want.
Yes.
Well, it's Christmas. Well, I'm not going to get you Modern Warfare because that's what you really want. And I don't want you to have it. But it is Christmas, so I got you a hat. Well, I didn't want a hat. I wanted the video game. I don't want a spatula. I don't want some chains for my tires. I could have done that any day of the week.
That was thoughtful because I knew you'd be driving a lot more.
All of those things were things my parents have given me at some point in my life. And I love the chains for my tires. Very useful. I've used them zero times in my life. Living in Southern California.
Yeah, that's my in-laws give me flannel pajamas every year, even though it doesn't get below 50 degrees here.
Well, Mama doesn't need any more flannel pajamas.
I'm just saying that
to your point about getting a laundry list and then reacting that way, it's like, well, there is a bit of, I also don't feel like they heard me, but to your point, those are all things that he wanted. Those are all love language things, and he was into it.
It's like so. He had a list of 12 things, got 8 of them, and then it was like, oh, why didn't I get all 12?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm sure that's not the case, but I'm saying that it has a tendency as a parent, and I'm saying this not because I'm off topic, because I do think it's relevant to the people listening to the show, is that if you are a kid and you're like, why do my parents do this irrational crap like that drives me up a wall? There's a reason behind it that you don't understand and they don't even really completely understand.
I see what you're saying. It's all fear.
It's not fear. It's this idea of like, I hope all I want you to do is be a decent human being. Mm. I wish that there was a way that I could beat this into my child. And if I thought actually hitting him would do it, I would do it in a heartbeat, where I could just say, if you are a good kid, if you were just easygoing and chill, you could literally have everything you want. Mm-hmm. Everything you want. Maybe not right when you want it, but eventually you will milk everything out of me that you could possibly want. If whenever I say, hey, it's time to go take a nap, you're like, yeah, let's do it. And you just go do it. You know what I mean? If you're older and your chore is to take out the trash, and I never have to tell you, I never have to remind you to take out the trash. Or if it's you take out the trash and then dad usually, you know, mows the lawn, go, Dad, I already took care of mowing the lawn. I had nothing to do this morning and felt like getting out, threw on, listened to my podcast and banged out the lawn.
SFP.
Right. I banged out the lawn for you. That kind of stuff. If you always do that, I would be...
You would not be a child.
My mind would... Well, right. But my mind would be blown for a parent that would not look at that and go, clearly I'm doing something right. Clearly this deserves some kind of reward.
Yeah.
There's no concern here. There's no issue here. Right. And that's what you really, what you're constantly trying to manage is, what is it that I'm creating? Because I still worry. Like, what if it's true? What if, because my son has seen Apollo 13 or that 5 seconds of that video game, he goes to school and rips out some kid's jugular with his mouth because he's playing? You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff has a way of, like,
being
getting into the back of your...
You.
Oh, it does. Yeah. It messes you. Because it expands... Imagine if you're... I'm not a paranoid person. I've never been a paranoid person.
It expands your sphere of responsibility. Like, yes. Now you're no longer responsible for your actions, but you're responsible for your child's
and
actions.
You're also responsible within that child of every possible variable of everything that could possibly hit that kid.
Mind-numbing. Why does anybody have kids?
I don't know.
You should move to a farm.
I don't know.
Did he have more questions? We've got, like, 5 minutes here, and I think what you're saying is invaluable. And in bridging the gap, but I wanted to see if there was any other questions. Maybe we
what do you think was the best
in.
And worst Super Bowl commercial?
Oh, okay.
That was the other one.
We'll tackle that in 2 seconds. yeah, so I think that your initial point, just to bring it on home, is to take it back to them like a negotiating tactic and try to play on their side of the team. Don't see them as your opponent.
Yes.
And don't try to fight them, but say, what can we do to get me into a PlayStation 3 today?
It's a natural thing between a parent and a child for the child to seek victory where you will not have any.
Yeah.
You have no power. The sooner you realize they are in complete control of everything you want and desire and succumb to that and are willing to play by those rules, the sooner you will have the power that you are seeking.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I firmly believe, that if you go to them and say, listen, I understand that you're a little wave, you know, you're hesitant about this video game thing because you see I got a lot of consoles and this is kind of the thing I'm into. I understand that. So what I'm asking, because it is important to me, what would you like to have for me? Like, mm-hmm. what would be your dream scenario that you're like, if you did this for me, I would totally be willing to cave on this idea, because you're creating a mature compromise. That's what adults are supposed to do, even though they don't really do it.
It's a good business technique. It's skill you can use for every aspect of your life, except for the DMV.
The father, or I don't know, but I'm playing racial. I'm playing gender stereotypes.
Don't
but the father
drop
will go,
the race card.
The father will look at it and go, this kid is going to be a good businessman. He understands negotiation. You know what I mean?
That's a breadwinner. And
the mom is going to be, he's not going to be a hard ass like his father and try and drive and dominate the relationship.
Relationships.
He's
going
to be accommodating to his wife. You know what I mean? Like, it connects. You feel like that is a win in a parent column. When you have a kid that comes and handles things like an adult in a mature situation, don't throw a fit. Like, as crazy as it sounds, I really think that I've seen kids that are 8 years old do it. I mean, what your brother-in-law did is the teenage equivalent of a tantrum, in a sense, where it's like, all I really want is this. And you're like, well, what if we didn't go to Disneyland? Yeah, I'd do that.
See, and I'm glad you said that, because if we were a less mature Second Funniest Podcast, the answer should have been, why didn't you stay outside of Disneyland with solidarity with him and demand that his parents get him? I don't want your passes.
Yeah.
I don't want to spend the day with you unless we can get it in writing that he is getting Modern Warfare for Christmas.
Right, because here's the thing, though, too.
And I will spend the rest of the day in downtown Disney.
This is what blows my mind about the parent-child relationship that I've learned, is that it makes more sense for your brother-in-law to sit in a car for 16 hours in a parking lot than it does to go to his father and say something like, well, what do you want me to do so that I can have what I want? You know what I mean? Which would be over like that in an instant. You would probably have to do something that would take you 10 minutes, but you would rather, because it's a struggle for power. And I fight this with my 3-year-old.
I feel like parents, whenever you throw that lob to them, I feel like sometimes they can come back with very generalizations that are bars you can't hit. I don't know, be a better kid. Get better grades.
I think that that's the misunderstanding.
Maybe that was just my dad.
Yeah, but
whenever I call them on that stuff, like, he would say things when we were a kid. What's it going to take for you to understand that you cannot climb this tree? I'll do whatever you want. You want me to punch punch this car door? I'll do it. You tell me what you want me to do, and it's so that you understand that you can't do this. And then later,
I want a Game Boy.
Yeah, later I came up with something. I was like, you know what would help is if you put rocks out there, then we wouldn't be able to get to the tree or something. I had a very logical thing. So I came back to him a day or so later. I was like, you know, Dad, you said you would do whatever it would take for us to understand. I said, you know what would do is if we put rocks out there. It really, I remember it being like a decent idea. Right. We had rocks. Like, it was all, it could have been something he and I did together. This is my perspective on
when
it.
When you become a parent, it is going to be awesome. racism. Well, for
and,
you,
then,
by
and
the way.
Then he says he actually showed me the man behind the curtain. He says, I'm not going to do anything. That's just something I said to make you understand the importance of it. Right.
And because he feels like he said it again and again and again.
I was blown. I was like, my trust was crushed. Because I'm like, your word is your bond. You said you would do anything for me to understand. Yeah. I came up with a solution, and you told me you were lying to me? Like, that's how I walked away from the conversation.
Yes, because you have these moments of where you don't understand how to communicate with someone who you're supposed to teach to communicate. That's a very difficult test that I don't even think Captain Kirk could get through. Like, I just don't understand. Like, that's the part that I over-explain. I try to rationalize like he's an adult, and he just glazes over. But you come back with an honest-to-goodness reaction. Like, because I've said to my son, I said it today.
Yeah.
How many times do I have to say the same thing to you? Like, literally, how, like, I want to know a number. Give me an honest, because I'll say it right now that many times. And he's like, I'm sorry. And he covers his eyes.
Oh.
Goes, I'm sorry, Dad. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? Don't. Oh, me. All
That's right. sad.
No, don't you,
you
turn on me.
Hit your child.
You son
with
of a bitch.
Words.
Don't you turn on me. Because I know him. I know that he's smart and he's playing me.
The show's over.
All right. Well, I'm a horrible father. At least, I want to make it clear since we've been accused of being pedophiles, I touch other children, not Mike.
Justin is the co host of the Dad Podcast.
Make that a drop.
Make sure you check that out. You can find it on dadpodcast.com. The best Super Bowl commercial of 2012. Which one? I laughed. There was one that I thought was funny.
The one I really like was that Chevy one where they're like, you know, Jim didn't make it. He had a
Ford. That was about
that was the one that made me laugh.
That was the first funny one I feel like we've had in a long time. This year was not the year for funny commercials. The vampire one was funny, but that's been out for days.
Did you hear that one of the highest rated ones was that Dorito one with the dog and like saying you didn't
dogs.
See nothing because he killed the cat. That Great Dane killed the cat, and the guy's gardening, and he looks over, and he sees the Great Dane bearing a collar.
Yeah.
So he essentially killed the cat, and he's like, you didn't see nothing. He puts on this post-it note on the Dorito. So Doritos has a contest that people produce the commercials, and then they give them a prize.
Oh.
And so what they said was that it costs, I was wrong on my number, but I think they said it was like $7 million to run an ad during the Super Bowl.
Mm, yeah.
And because of Doritos competition, that commercial cost $20 to shoot.
Oh wow!
That's the amount of.
Did they get paid for that?
Well, they got. I'm sure they got like $100,000 or something like that. But the idea of it was that it's because of the times that we live in that you can have a high definition camera, you could shoot something, and it could look broadcast quality. That really Doritos got away with murder.
The highest profit margin of all time. Wow.
Because they put their ad as a self produced ad, which makes it endearing because it's self produced. Yeah. It gives it a safety net where people aren't having a high expectation, and it's really funny and cute. And they also, one of the other things that I thought was interesting that everybody's talking about is that dogs won, animals won, because they had that dog that was training to chase the beetle, and then it was the Star Wars one. I like that one.
But the Star Wars one, that was my favorite, where they zoomed out.
I like the truck one. That one was the best.
The truck one was
because they had
good
Tweakies and everything that was post apocalyptic.
The worst one was the platinum one. I couldn't believe.
Oh my gosh! But and they ran it like three times.
They're like, it was so bizarre. I felt like it was as if Taco Bell was like, we're awesome now because we sell tacos.
Yeah,
you sell the second worst beer on the market.
Right.
Like, it goes Coors, Bud.
You know what's funny?
And you have the most money poured into your ads.
I was auditioning to be the master of cold for Coors, and it came down to between me and like four guys for this campaign. I think it was last year's Super Bowl. And it ended up being just an online campaign, but they were going to shoot it to be the Super Bowl commercial last year. And so I was doing all this research because they wanted you to kind of improv. So I wanted to have... Because you're supposed to be
talking points about Coors,
cold and the idea of what cold is and how it affects beer and everything. And one of the first things when I Googled to get stuff to improvise was that actually the colder a beer is means that it's cheaper and worse because you're losing the flavor. That's the actual antithesis of being
absolutely
a good beer is
Guinness
to make
is served
it ice
warm.
Cold.
Yeah.
Is because, you know, and that I was like, well, like, I can't use that one. And that was like the first thing I saw. And I was like, oops.
That's what the second commercial I ever, first commercial I ever auditioned for was Coors. Worst beer. All right.
All right, that was our show. Oh, before I forget, real quick.
just Rickroll.
I don't want the music to go over this. Is that coming up next week, if you're listening to this on time,
But February 28th is when the voting is going to start on the Clorox Last Comic Sitting. I also want to take a moment because I've been checking in on the videos. And I want to thank you guys in the Second Funniest Podcast Army, I'm going to call you, because I'm the highest viewed comic out of everybody that's in the competition, even Sherry Shepherd, who's was on The View. Her videos aren't getting viewed as much as me, so I appreciate it so much. I cannot... I know I do bits on here, but really, it's like, it makes me feel amazing. Like, I go, look at these people. I have brought them to you. You are welcome.
Clorox is welcome.
Right. And I also like that none of the people listening to this podcast are in Clorox's demo. That's the other thing. That I'm like, yeah, this is just
they
me.
They will be now.
This
grow
is just
up and
me
buy Clorox.
And my mighty army coming in like a blitzkrieg to dominate this competition and make it worthless. But no,
just don't get involved in voteforthewurst.com.
Oh, what's
don't
that?
It's this website of insidious people that look for these web contests that companies do.
Oh, like Sanjaya or whatever with American Idol.
And then they vote for the worst possible candidates, and they have like whole campaigns and things. I think it's a brilliant way of sticking it to the corporate world, trying to treat us like we're
F you guys.
Yeah, we're peasants and groundlings, but. Please don't mess with this competition.
I'd appreciate that immensely.
To be fair, though, it would be hard in your competition to find the worst because they've done a lot of vetting already. So it's not like every Joe Schmo, like, you know, guys that have no business doing stand-up are in the running. I don't think, like, out of the 10 that are there, they're all pretty good comics.
Yes.
Like, they're all guys.
They're all guys that were working. And So so get ready for the voting. They're going to do the mom competition starting on February, 28th. And then the first dad challenge is going to hit on March 6th. So that's when you can actually start voting for me. Just go to thecloroxlounge.com. Or if you go to secondfunniestpodcast.com, there's a link to help me win that. So thank you. So that's our show. Give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@secondfunniestpodcast.com. Don't forget to go to secondfunniestpodcast.com. Click on all the banners for supporting our sponsors. And don't forget to keep spreading the word. Keep liking us on the Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, @secondfunniest. All of that jazz. Appreciate the hell out of all you people. On behalf of my good friend, Kevin Miller, Justin Worsham, saying, okay, bye.